Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and Paradigm Shifters are people who are making a big difference on our planet at this time, helping to shift the collective of our human species. And we had two wonderful awakened beings from the Amma Bhagavan Oneness Blessing University group that are bringing enlightening transmissions into service and into being able to be kind of contagious around the world, waking us up, changing our brain patterns. And these are two, Leslie Heiner and Lori Clark, who have been awakened, have gone through a huge process, and we're just thrilled that you would both join us today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Veronica.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi, Lori. Hi, Leslie. So what does it mean, ladies, to be awakened?
Well, to be awakened is to be very conscious of the senses of the body, conscious of your thoughts, conscious of your feelings. It awakens everything, enlivens the body greatly with how life really is. Because what has happened to us in the past, we have been conditioned by past traumas, past thought patterns, processes, the way the environment, all of that sort of thing has conditioned us. And our senses have been dumbed down, for want of a better word. And we're not in touch with life as it really is. And so when you awaken, that part of the brain that's connected to the past is actually transformed, and it's severed from our present moment. And so we're not interfered with by the past.
Wow. And so maybe Leslie, you want to explain what your process has been to accomplish this awakening. How have you gotten there? How'd you start out?
How did I start out? Well, I started out in 1985 with my first event, Alpha Dynamics, in Australia, and it alerted me to the process in the brain where you have alpha frequencies, beta frequencies, theta frequencies, and delta. So I started to become very interested in the brain at that point in my life. And going along with that was a move within me to clear patterns that I had. I was a great procrastinator, and I was a very, very impatient person. And I was enticed along because I wanted to change these things within myself. And so I started that back in 85, and I've just gone from one teacher to another after that that could take me to where I am today. And then eventually, about 7 years ago, I found the Oneness Blessing. And that was when I really noticed a change in me. It not only changed me, but it changed my friends and my family around me. So the Oneness Blessing actually helps you to shift neurologically in your brain. And that was when I started achieving a lot of things, and my life blossomed and changed at that point. And I've had three trips to the university now, and this last one was where the transformation happened and I became awakened.
Does it feel different being awakened? I mean, like, what's the big transition for you in terms of your, let's put it this way, in your mundane life?
In my mundane life, I no longer struggle. What I find is that everything just has a flow to it. I'm going to have a conversation with somebody. I'm not thinking ahead how I need to phrase it or what I need to say. I just open my mouth and it all comes out. It's just like there's no mental conflict in the brain. Or if I have a conversation with someone, I don't go over, well, she said and he said or whatever. It's just that I'm happy with what I've said, and there's no mental torment that comes along after that.
That sounds really relaxing and appealing. Well, Lori, let's bring you into this conversation as well. And how did you get into it? What is awakening to you? How's it feel?
I'm fairly new to the oneness movement. Mm-hmm. I came into it in November 2011. But previous to this, all my life, I've been a spiritual seeker.
Mm-hmm.
And done many, many years. I also did Alpha Dynamics many years ago and done other things. And it was just amazing how I came into oneness. I just went to meet a mutual friend of Leslie's and invited to come and meet Leslie because fellow Australian. And Leslie was setting up a meeting for the oneness event that she was having that day and invited me if I wanted to come along. So I said, okay, I'm in. And away I went and I received a diksha and I didn't think anything really happened and I didn't expect it to. But it was just so simple. The whole thing was just so gentle, simple. And I thought, is that it? Is that all you do? You know, it was amazing. And I was so interested. I never knew why. And I didn't have this resonation with Emma and Bhagwan, the avatars of the Oneness University. And gradually over time, I still resonated with the Oneness. And I started to hear about the people who were just becoming awakened in September last year. And I got to talk to these people and I wanted to experience. I knew that was why I was going. I knew that was what was always been my path, the attraction to spiritual teachings that I'd had. And I wanted that. I wanted to be free of the suffering I was in.
Hmm.
I had a lot of suffering, mental and physical suffering. My body was in a lot of pain, and it was extreme. And I just wasn't happy. I was not a happy person on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went over and went to India and developed such a beautiful resonation with Emma and Bhagwan. But I became awakened, but not only that, I don't have that pain in my body anymore. I physically do not have that pain. I do not take any medication that I was on. I don't take any painkillers.
Is that right from the time you first went to India, you haven't had any pain?
Yes, since I was awakened.
Wow.
I have not had pain in my body.
Hmm. Did you only go
very,
to India?
Very, very little, like 99% of it's gone. I do not need a painkiller.
And did you only go to India once, Lori?
Yes, yes. I've only been there once, and I went to the Oneness November 2011, became a blessing giver in December 2011, and then I was away from America back in Australia for about 5 months, and I didn't go for about 6 months. So I haven't really been going that long.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the... It was just so simple, so honest and raw. I just knew it was what I wanted.
Hmm.
And I knew that this would help humanity. I knew it because you wouldn't have to be in suffering. And that's all that we want to be rid of.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think is the ultimate plan of Ama Bhagavan?
The ultimate plan, absolutely.
And they're called, for people who don't know, they're called Ama Bhagavan because as a married couple or as a couple, they each have a huge component to becoming together, a total avatar, which is someone who's...
That's right.
Yeah, someone who's come to the planet in order to offer service and to raise the fields and frequency, right?
Yes. Well, it's the masculine and the feminine coming together. And they both came on the planet for the specific purpose to relieve the world of suffering. And they've known that since they were 3 years old, that was their intent.
Wow.
And they've spent their whole life preparing people, teachers, to take this plan to the world population, and now it's just flowering into something that's really wonderful.
It's amazing when you're talking about flowering. What is happening? It's all over the world, isn't it?
Yes. Well, as of the end of January, there were 352,000 fully awakened people on the planet, and there were 103 million that were experiencing awakened states. Now, awakened states are a beautiful experience, but it's not a permanent shift. When people begin to experience awakened states, which means their life is starting to flow, they're starting to feel more joy and peace in their life, but then something will happen and then they'll snap out of it. And then they'll go into a period of suffering, and then they'll come back into an awakened state again. So there's 103 million people on the planet now that are experiencing these awakened states, and that's very encouraging because all of those people are on their way to being fully awakened.
Well, and this is all happening over the last just 2 years or so, isn't it, this, the awakening part?
But really, it's only gained momentum since September. In September, there were like 8 people awakened in India in 1 month, and that was exciting, and then October there was something like 40, and then November there was something like 80, and then in December there was something like 1170.
Wow, isn't that exciting?
It's gaining momentum. You know, it's creating a momentum now within itself. It's actually like the 100th monkey syndrome.
When the
monkeys, you know, the story where they go down and they wash their yams in the water?
Oh, yes, I sure remember that one. Oh,
yeah. And then the monkeys on one island started washing their yams. And then before they knew it, monkeys on various other islands started washing their yams. So this is like it is actually affecting now the collective consciousness, which is very, very exciting to see.
Well, let's go back to some of the specifics, because we have like rampant depression in this country. We have all kinds of people on pharmaceuticals for this, that, and the other. We have huge medical costs and blah, blah, blah. Do you think, I mean, Lori, you're talking about having released physical pain, and I've heard people say that the brain changes have released people from alcoholism and drug addiction. Do you have any stories about that kind of thing, or can either of you make any comments about that?
I can say that, when I first realized this had happened, we were at the airport because every day was filled with teachings and processes and, you know, going through something. And it was very powerful. Even though it was simple, it was powerful. So we were in a routine of such. So when we came out of the temple in the university and went to the airport, I was standing in line at the airport to get my ticket, and I noticed, like, I hadn't eaten for about 11 hours. I hadn't slept for many, many hours. Yet I was in this beautiful state, you know, that would never have been that way, right? Peaceful and quiet in my head. It's permanently peaceful and quiet in my head. Other people were in a, you know, having to stand there, trying to sit down on the floor, and I was just peacefully standing there. It would never have happened before. But no, we also feel other people's suffering. And by that I mean thoughts will come and go. Other people's thoughts may come into our head, and it flows out. We might feel some of their suffering, but it doesn't stay, and it's not in your body, but you feel it as like a consciousness. But lately, something had happened in my family, and I could feel something wasn't right in my family in the last couple of weeks. And I was saying to Leslie, something's not right. I know it's not right. I can feel it. I could feel it in my body. Something wasn't right. Didn't know what it was, and I found out that one of my family members had had a nervous breakdown.
And
is still going through this process of this nervous breakdown. And I'm feeling that nervous breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm experiencing it because she's very close to me. And so what I've come to realize is that I'm also helping her to release, because what happens is through our awakening, it changes your DNA and it changes the DNA in your family. So
wait a minute. Are you saying that your evolution or your awakening actually spurred her to come apart in her nervous system?
I would say it's helped to bring all this about so that she can deal with stuff that she's pushed down.
That's wonderful.
We don't want to feel our suffering. We want to get rid of it. So what we do is we overeat, we go to the movies, we do whatever we do, right? People do drugs. We don't tend to know how to deal with our emotions, so they're all stuck down in the body. And so they need to come out. And so all this that is coming from within her, these emotions that she's feeling, I'm feeling them too, but I'm helping her. I'm not intentionally doing that, by the way. It's happening.
Yeah, you're empathizing.
I've been going through her suffering.
So you're saying you're empathizing, but you're not really. You're
actually to realize, that I knew it wasn't mine, but I started to feel, oh, my God, I was feeling so bad. I thought, oh, my God, it's mine, but I knew it wasn't. And each day, I just understand more and more with this awakening. It's hard to explain. It's one of these things you need to experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I realize it's also releasing stuff that may still be within me, mm-hmm. So once you feel this emotion, you may not even know what it's connected to at that time. It may not actually come, but it's still releasing out of you. So you're not going to have that in there anymore.
Well, let me ask you this: for your cousin, did you, or your family member, did you then give her a diksha, put your hands on her head?
No, because she's in Australia.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I can send her diksha. I send her distance diksha. But what also happened was, as I experienced this, she actually appeared in my mind. I could see her clearly, but Emma appeared alongside her.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and so I asked Emma to go into her heart and help her, because she's such a beautiful person and a lovely person, but she has never dealt with emotions well.
Mm-hmm.
Them down and never, ever will communicate about them either. So it's been something that's ongoing all her life. So now since I've been awakened, this all happened. This actually started to happen to her at the same time I was awakened.
Hmm. How interesting.
And all these realizations are coming through to me, but I was picking it up.
So how is it now? Are you finished with that? Is she complete?
No, definitely not. Oh. I'm still going through it, mm-hmm. and I still feel it. I can feel her fear. I'm feeling everything that she's feeling. Hmm. She doesn't know that, though. I've not told her. But
what you're saying is that's because of the shared DNA that you have such a
deep... Yeah, absolutely. Yep, that's right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it'll help her. It'll help her shift. It'll help with her healing. None of my family, by the way, are spiritually inclined.
Mm-hmm.
Neither were my parents. It's really funny. I was, always have been, all of my life.
Well, there's always this catalyst in the family, right?
Yes. And so I realized this is what I was meant to do. This is what I'm meant to. I love it. I've always mm-hmm. been this way. I'm still a normal person, you know.
Whatever that means, eh, Lori?
I'm not holier than thou. I definitely don't wear wings or halos. But it's always been what I've loved. This has always been the forefront of my life.
Yeah, me too, yes.
And,
well, let me ask Leslie, do you have any healing stories like that, Leslie? Is it similar for you and in your...
Changing your family.
Yes, I've noticed a change in my family.
Okay.
my son and my daughter-in-law were not a bit interested in oneness at all. In fact, they were not interested in Catholic. My daughter-in-law was Catholic and my son was, you know, tagging along. and so they were not a bit interested in oneness. But when I was in India, we did a lot of, we do a lot of bhajan dancing and a lot of meditation, and we have a lot of fun there while we're doing these processes. It helps to raise the energy of the body. And my son, he would actually appear in my heart every night and would dance with me. And very hard to imagine, but he had such joy and such happiness being there on an etheric level. And when they came to visit me after Christmas, I noticed that they were very open to the blessing. And
oh, wonderful.
The first time I was ever able to give them a blessing. And they all enjoyed it. Even my two grandchildren loved the fact that I could give a blessing. So that was very wonderful for me, because I knew that I was changing my DNA and I was also helping to change my family's DNA. And this is something that's very common within the people that are awakening, is that if a daughter awakens, the mother will become awakened, or vice versa. Even people that were at the university that began to awaken, their partners back home were starting to have the same symptoms. So even if you're not connected DNA-wise, you're very connected emotionally. Mm-hmm. So that connection is bringing about awakening.
Hmm.
Once Bhagwan says that once one in the family awakens, that the rest of the family are certain to awaken. We don't know how long it's going to take. It could be a year or 2 years. But even so, if it could eliminate a whole lifetime of suffering for these people, I mean, what a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is just very exciting. So you're saying that that's basically how it's moving like a wave through the species, eh?
Exactly.
So we don't all have to go to India, or do we?
What Laurie and I are doing, and you've been present at one of them, we are going around to wherever we're invited to give awakened Diksha.
Mm.
And we talk with the people and we explain to them what's going on, just like we're doing with you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then we answer their questions, and then we will give them a hands-on awakened Diksha. And that will help to change their DNA. It will help to put them on the track for awakening for themselves.
Hmm.
And once they have one of those blessings, then they are on their way. And it's only a matter of time before they will awaken. But yes, the momentum is coming. All of these 103 million people that are in awakened states are eventually going to be fully awakened.
I even heard a story, going back a little ways, talking about healings. I heard a story about a woman who'd had a spiral fracture of her arm, and she healed that totally in 4 days with just doing her own Diksha, oneness blessings.
Yes, well, that's true. That happens all the time.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story.
We had a lady at our deepening that flew home to Toronto because she had a spiral fracture in her foot.
Mm.
And needed to be all wired back. The bone needed to be wired back. She could have had it done in India. She had x-rays and so forth. But she had more confidence to go back home because she could be looked after while she was recuperating.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time she got back to Canada, which was a few days later, the spiral fracture had totally healed.
Was she mad she went home?
No! I didn't ask her that question. And one of our oneness meditators just recently had a tumor. She was quite ill when she was in India. And she got home and was still ill. And she had some tests done. She had a couple of bacterial infections in her stomach. But what they discovered was one of the tubes from her liver to her bile duct was blocked. So they put a stent in it, and there was a tumor there.
Hmm.
So they waited until the bacteria was cleared, and then they did endoscopic X-ray on her, and the tumor had disappeared by that time. So they, you know, miracles are happening all of the time, that we're hearing people are healing their arthritis in their knees, they're healing their diabetes. They're not as addicted as what they were to substances. We're hearing this all of the time.
And I heard a lot of bipolar brain situations are becoming healed as well. Have you heard that?
Sorry, we missed that.
Things like bipolar brain, you know.
Yes, I've heard that too.
So
actually, even our heads, Leslie, this happened to Leslie as well. We were both discussing it. Has actually changed shape.
Oh my, really?
Yeah, and at the back of my head especially, because I was in a lot of pain, I used to give myself a lot of neck massages, things like that. And the back of my head, from just around the bottom part to the right and left, had these huge lumps like bone. It was bone. And that's gone. It's actually gone into this lovely shaped head.
Oh, isn't this marvelous?
I know. And the kundalini that runs through the body can be amazing. For me, it was extremely powerful and would shake my body around and push and do all sorts of things. And it still does. It's still doing that on occasion. And I just think, oh, my goodness, because of all these emotions that I'd been feeling. My family member, I was in bed the other night and all of a sudden this crunching into my stomach, like as if I was doing a stomach crunch exercise, you know.
Oh my.
It was lifting me up.
Wow.
Healing. It was just healing, because all this fear I could feel in my gut and in my knees and all this stuff, but it was healing it. It was healing out of my body. It's amazing.
So you kind of have to slow down and allow it to move through instead of going, oh my gosh, what's wrong?
You cannot stop it.
That's one thing I was going to say, Veronica, is that once we awakened, we go nowhere near at the breakneck speed that we used to go. You can't multitask anymore. It's impossible. And if you're eating your meal, you're very present. You're eating the meal. So you're not suffering that stress of time constraints and things like that. So you are far more relaxed. And you know what? Everything gets done regardless. And it gets done in a more efficient and comfortable way for us.
More beautiful,
so,
probably.
So that's something else that, that I've really noticed. And that does lead to a lot of relaxation. But I just wanted to add something on to what Laurie was saying.
Please.
I was getting a lot of feelings in my head that happened. They've been happening for quite a while. But when I was at the university, it was very, very pronounced. But my bones were actually in my skull, were actually snapping and cracking and moving as the energy was maneuvering and the brain was changing. And all up around my face and my eyes, I could feel the bones were separating and changing. So it's extremely powerful energy that goes on in the body when you're going through this awakening process.
So it isn't all just fun and easy.
No.
Well, you know, the headaches would pass, but they would be, you know, you'd really notice them for a period of time. It might be a matter of an hour, 2 hours, maybe overnight or something like that. But I used to have chronic neck conditions, like always. I had a couple of rear enders and always had pain in my neck. And, I mean, that is all gone since I awakened.
Isn't that thrilling?
It's a miracle. I've suffered with that all of my life, well, since I was in my early 20s. So,
well, what's remarkable to me is I'm not a guru person, although I've studied spirituality for hundreds of years or probably, but and love what they do. But this whole Amma Bhagavan thing is so mind-boggling, to think that they can send, people can feel it and be conscious of it thousands and thousands of miles away from what they're sending. I mean, it's really remarkable, is it not?
It is.
That's what resonated with me, was the fact that these things I could physically feel, I knew something was happening. And the fact that these people are just doing this for humanity, I've never come across anything like this anywhere.
Well, ever. An avatar isn't really a person anyway, is it? It's a more of an enlightened being or an evolved being.
They're very enlightened. They're probably the most enlightened couple that are on the planet right now. They're way off the charts as far as their energy is concerned.
They're
exceptional, and they are avatars of enlightenment, and that's the purpose for incarnating on the planet at this time.
For which we're very grateful.
Oh, very grateful. I feel totally blessed that we've had this experience, and I'm just filled with gratitude that a humble person like me actually found the oneness movement and actually awakened, because this has been the most powerful thing that's ever happened to me in my life. Mm. I've been through small changes before, but this is a permanent shift. And I will never, ever go back to suffering again. And so that, to me, is a miracle.
It is a miracle. Tell me this, do either of you work? Hold a regular job. Do either of you have to do that?
Oh, well, I'd like to, but I haven't got any work. I'm looking for work.
Okay, and, the reason I'm asking that, Lori, is because...
Because of your time.
It's sort of an interesting question, because with the relaxation and the flow, you kind of wonder, I wonder immediately about ambition, my own ambitions and so on. What will happen to those? What happens to that kind of thing?
Well, you still live a normal, like what we were taught was, say you're a doctor,
mm-hmm.
you'll be better. You'll be a better doctor.
Hmm.
You'll be even more profound as a doctor.
Hmm. So what,
they still encourage us to always retain our job, work, all that sort of thing, live your normal lifestyle.
So what happens, Veronica, is it unleashes creativity within yourself.
Hmm.
And instead of utilizing the mind now, you are utilizing your natural ability to be creative.
Mm.
And we've got people from all walks of life that have awakened. We've got lawyers, we've got doctors, we've got Ayurvedic practitioners, ballet teachers.
And I heard you had the Pope's secretary before the Pope resigned.
Everything, from all walks of life.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, and they're all doing their professions in a more relaxed, creative way. Things that you wouldn't even expect you would experience, even in the work that I do, little creative ways that come in, and there's just such a flow to everything. It's so easy.
When I came back, Veronica,
mm-hmm.
it was Christmas time, and on Christmas Eve, I drove into town, but I'd had this message in the morning, like somebody, I didn't hear it as in words so much, it was like somebody said to me, to go into the aged care centre and put in for some voluntary work. It was really, really strange. It was like woke me up. So, okay, anyway, I forgot about it. I was driving into town to get some veggies and things. And as I was driving back, this same thing happened again as I was driving back. Well, I was so close to the aged care centre that I went off the road straight into the aged care centre. And applied to do some voluntary work. So I go in there now and I give makeovers to the ladies in there, and today we played bingo. But I thoroughly enjoy it, but I give them Diksha without them even realising it. And, it's become fun, actually. I actually like doing it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. But I would not have done that before I was awakened.
Hmm.
I worked with disabilities.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it wasn't what I wanted to do, but I really enjoy it. So,
well, tell me this, when you're working...
I turn into a job, but I don't know what I want to do. I just like something to come up.
I think it's going to, but also when we're talking about disabilities, and I remember Doug's story about going into the jails in Los Angeles and so on, it seems like it's a natural gift to take to work with disabled beings, whether it's seniors with dementia or anything, is it?
Yeah, I would love to do that sort of thing. I don't know how they go about it, but I'd like to do that.
Well, it just seems like it's a natural thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and, you know, a lot of these people at the end of their life, and if we could help them in some way to ease their suffering and for them to awaken before they pass...
Or even their transition. Would be,
yeah, would be so beautiful. I mean, we give Diksha a lot to people that are passing, and their passing is so pleasant and so calming for them.
How wonderful.
It helps all people for all sorts of things.
So going back to you for just a minute, Lori, we were talking about how your parents were not spiritual at all. Are they now? Or are they still on this side?
No, they've passed.
Oh, they have passed, yeah.
I looked after my dad for 2 years, almost 2 years before he passed. And I wasn't in oneness at that time, but I was spiritual, and we used to talk a lot about things like that. We developed such a great bond and relationship. It was one of the most healing things for me to look after him. I look back now and think, oh, my God, it was a blessing that, you know, that happened. I mean, I had to give up my job and passed up on another offer of a job. But it wasn't that. It didn't matter to me. It was the fact that something was happening. And I think, you know, somehow my parents have helped me come along to this oneness. I really do. Because this was in Australia. And then after my dad passed, I won a green card and to come to America. You know, but I won it 3 times, but I only put in for it once.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was like somebody brought me here, but I never knew really why. So I think it was to come across the oneness, to come across Leslie, because even though we're both Australian, we never met in Australia.
Interesting.
We only met, you know, in 2011. So it's just, and we just resonate with doing the oneness.
Well, you're doing a wonderful job together. But Leslie, do you have other family members besides your son and your daughter-in-law that have been affected by, or, you know, that where the DNA has actually moved you?
Well, my sister is obviously having a shift to my thinking. She has a mentality that when something goes wrong, she goes into depression, like big-time depression. And I've always worked with her to try and help her to move out of that over the years. And I could see that there was movement forward. I mean, she's a beautiful person, but she just couldn't take setbacks in her life. And I noticed that I got an email from my other sister to say that Susan had been through a major flood in Australia just recently. And so I thought, oh, my goodness, she's going to be down. So I called her straight away. And the change in her was so miraculous. She was so positive about the fact that the house didn't go completely under and it was only the underneath of the house that was flooded, and she could rectify what the problem was, the damage. And so that was like a big shift for my sister. So I'm noticing, you know, my family's not really spiritual either. Same with as with Laurie. My family, my parents were not spiritual, and my siblings were not spiritual, and neither my children. But I'm noticing that there are tremendous shifts going on in how they're dealing with their lives. And so that's really wonderful, because I really expected my sister to be very depressed. but she wasn't at all.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. So I want to ask you two things. I love hearing these stories because I just feel such possibility. But there's two things I want to ask about. For example, if you could talk a little bit about the brain, because last year I went online to see how the Diksha affected the brain, and there were some wonderful brain scans there. And and I know people start laughing and crying and expressing, and I know there's a real brain connection. You said, Leslie, especially, that you were really interested in the brain.
Yes, yes. What the Diksha does, it calms the parietal lobes of the brain, and the self, which is the personalities, are contained mostly in the parietal lobes. And so what happens with the Diksha is that calms right down, and the frontal lobe then becomes active, and that's where your creativity is housed, is in the frontal lobes, and so that's really what it does.
What does it do? Does it change the patternings that are etched in the various lobes? Is that, you know, how we have pathways etched in our brains through activity and reaction?
Yeah. What it does is it severs the pathways that are belonging to the self and enhances the pathways to the heart, which is where the divine is located. So people then become heart-centered rather than mind-centered, and there's a big difference. We're in the mind, we're not as capable of loving as deeply as what we are when we're in our heart center. So when that connection with the parietal lobes is actually severed, they talk about we have surgery at the university where that is actually severed, and we can still access the mind when we need to. The mind is not accessing us. We're the ones that are calling on the mind, because we might need the mind to actually help us with some information or some memory that we need to recall. We can access the mind, but it's not there riding lord over us like it was before.
You retain your personality. Yeah.
That can be good and bad, right?
Yeah. But the suffering of the brain is declutched.
And there are aspects of our personality that may have been attached to conditionings or traumas that we had before, and that personality will go.
Yep.
So what we're left with is the better parts of our personality.
And that'll get deeper and deeper as we go deeper, that, you know, you'll change more and more in that department as well.
Have either of you worked with children?
I've worked with children.
Have you worked?
And not since I've come back. Not much. Not around a lot of a little ones.
Well, you know what I'm thinking about is, for example, angry teenagers, the craziness that's going on out there. I'm going, maybe we should all be out there putting our hands on their heads, you know?
Yeah, we do have a lady that brings her two teenage kids, her grandson, actually when she can, and it is really helping them.
And how? Is it taking the edge
healing,
off?
Healing their body.
Yes, well, one of them had a bad, I think it was skateboarding or he was water skiing. He had a bad accident in the summer, and he severed his carotid artery. And it was very touch and go with him. And they prayed to Amram Bhagwan, and they actually, and had a lot of Diksha, and they actually healed themselves. The other one, the two brothers, one of them, he broke his foot, and he also healed. Both of them had this accident very similar time, one after the other. And both of them healed amazingly. And now they are recognizing that their inner divine is actually telling them what not to do and what to do. And so now they're more connected to their heart space, And this is through the Diksha. Laurie and I have both given them Diksha, and other blessing givers have also given them Diksha. So you really see a change in them, which is, it's lovely to see.
Well, so, and I'm kind of spiraling around, talk about your spiral fractures, but I had talked to someone who was telling us about, I'm an intuitive, and so what I see a lot of universal downloads that are really up in the ante these days, and this person was telling me that Amma Bhagavan had been talking about the golden frequencies that are coming down, and we're, what would we say, incorporating them?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything to say about that? Because I think that's pretty interesting.
Yes, well, there's a whole story about the golden ball that appeared to Bhagwan when he was 3 years old. And the golden ball was what taught him and showed him what he needed to do for humanity. And so that golden ball was with him until he was 21 years old.
Oh, my.
So he knew that the golden ball and the golden energy was part of this golden age that was coming.
Mm.
And then he started a residential school in India for children, because he's got a master's in mathematics, so he was well-equipped to teach. And at one stage during that school time, his son, the golden ball, appeared to Bhagwan's son, because Amma and Bhagwan have a child, and he was 15 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The golden ball appeared to him, and the golden ball asked him to put it into this other child's head by putting his hands on the head. And that was how Bhagwan knew that we were approaching the golden age, and it was time now to start the oneness blessing.
And is the time right, because we're vibrating?
Quite often we'll see this golden light come in, and it certainly is the frequency that is coming to the planet right now, and it's what's enabling the shift to happen.
And we can, if you're a blessing giver, if you've been initiated, those of us who are not awakened quite yet, we can still pass on in the distance some of this, can we?
Yeah.
Yes, and also with hands-on,
mm-hmm.
just because you're awakened doesn't mean to say that your blessing could not awaken someone.
Oh, really? Oh, that's nice to know.
We encourage all the blessing givers that have been initiated, and they go through a two-day course, the Oneness Awakening course,
mm-hmm.
the Oneness Trainer, and they become blessing givers. And then the energies that are coming through the Oneness Blessing now and the Awakened Diksha are becoming more and more powerful as the planet is getting more and more light, and as our energy is able to hold that golden light, we're now able to transfer a greater frequency onto others.
Mm.
And regular blessing givers have that ability as well.
Wonderful. Even if we don't make it to India right now.
Absolutely. you can become awakened. You don't need to go to India to become awakened. You can become awakened here in the countries where you are living, because we've got 352,000 awakened beings right now. And the Oneness University can only hold up to 1,200 each event. So we have to look at the fact that since September, we had 70,000 awakened beings in September, and that's how it's grown since that time. So that gives you an idea that this is not only people going to the university, it's people all over the world
mm-hmm.
having shifts into becoming fully awakened.
Well, now, what do you think is the impact on governments? And, I don't know, moneyed power and so on. What do you think is happening there? Anything yet? And can we do distant healing on that?
We can. We can certainly send blessings. And in fact, we had our trainers conference in Washington, D.C. in January last year. And we were all focused on things changing in Washington. And so far, I think we've seen some small changes. But if these people are very strong in their programming, and they probably haven't necessarily had hands-on Diksha, they've just had distance Diksha. And so what has happened in India we've had politicians from all over the world actually go and meet with Bhagwan, and they're very impressed with what they've seen there. So there is an element within governments. I'm not saying that it's in the US, because we're probably a little bit stuck as compared to other countries in the world, which are people like China and Taiwan, Korea. They are actually embracing oneness, and it's even on mainstream TV. And
oh, really?
Like that. They'll have an event over there, and they'll have 10,000 people show up.
Wow.
Whereas in America, we might have, you know, 1,200 or 1,300 show up to a big event here. So in the East, they're embracing oneness greatly, and they're awakening at a great rate in those countries.
Including, for example, the Chinese government, would you say that's happening there? Or the North Korea government?
Well, I'm not sure about what governments have actually met with Bhagwan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the names of the countries that have been, but certainly there are many governments that have been to the Oneness University. And what they're organizing now, which I find so beautiful, they're actually organizing groups of people, like groups of doctors and groups of ministers.
Oh, really?
And groups of psychologists and groups of entrepreneurs that are now going to the Oneness University and going through a special process now without the spiritual content, but just as a healing for themselves. And by the end of the course, they're wanting photos of Amma Bhagwan, and they're wanting blessings from Amma Bhagwan.
That's great.
After they have what we call a darshan with Amma Bhagwan, where they can ask their questions. After they meet him, they're totally enamored with him because he's such a beautiful, loving being. And even though it hasn't been taught to them about Amma Bhagwan, once they meet him, they want to know everything about him.
Hmm.
And so it does have a big impact on these groups of people that are going. And, you know, they've just started doing this. So I'm seeing that...
That's brilliant.
...will have a huge impact on the world. In the next couple of years, Bhagwan has told us by the end of 2014, we will hardly even recognize the world the way it is now. It's going to shift dramatically.
Wow. Well, things are happening in this country as well. I just want to throw in this other thing is manifestation. Everybody's always fretting and fussing about manifestation. I'm making the leap that from all of what you'd said so far, that people's lives are going to be able to manifest more, or what would you like to say about that, either of you or both of you? People are be able to manifest what their higher purpose is more easily and their material support, would you say?
Well, when we were in India, we were asked to write down what we wanted.
Mm.
And that was given to one of the darshans, who was one of the teachers, who would read it out to Bhagwan, and he would grant whatever the wish was.
Oh, my.
And at the same time, at another event there, we were asked to write down anything we wanted and it would be granted.
Hmm.
Right. So manifestations definitely are on the cards.
Hmm.
And I don't see why you couldn't, you know, your God knows what you want. You know, you ask, you pray, you ask Emma and Bhagwan for help. He said he would help.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure people will be released of that sort of suffering, you know, needing money or whatever it is. But yes.
Well, what would you two recommend for our listeners to do? You know, not everybody's going to be able to go to India. Some people
right.
are sort of stepping a big toe into the Diksha water, if you will. Perhaps you
yes.
will do
well,
a recommendation.
What you can do is go onto the Oneness University website. Oneness University.org,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually find a trainer there that are listed. All of the trainers in the US, I think, pretty much are listed there.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not, then they'll direct you to, we have a special site for USA oneness, but I just don't recall it offhand what the actual website is. But they can Google oneness awakening classes, and or go to the oneness university.org and find a trainer that's close by where they live and contact that trainer, because what they have are blessing circles, and most of the trainers do have them, and you can go along and experience the oneness blessing. As well as that, you can also go online, and there are oneness meditations online, and there are awakened teachers online as well. And if you Google anything like that, that will come up on the Google search.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy once you...
Online. And so we're offering oneness meditations online, and almost every hour online you'll find one oneness meditator from somewhere in the world. There's 70 of them, and they offer oneness meditations which take you into a beautiful state and help you to connect with your divine.
Well, they really are a blast of energy, aren't they? They're just an amazing thing.
Yes, they are.
It's wonderful. I have a quick story. As I stopped at a chiropractor's office who I'd never been to before the other day, walked in to see if I could start becoming a patient there. Two women were standing talking, and one of them looked at me and she said, "What is that hanging around your neck? Is that Bhagavan?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "That's what we were talking about. How will we find out where the oneness blessings are?" And in you walked.
So go online.
That's called manifesting.
Well, there's somewhere or someone that you could contact will point you in the direction of someone near you.
Perfect. Well, I really appreciate our time together. Both of you are...
I was just going to say too, Veronica, that we, Laurie and I and another awakened being, Linda, we're going to be having an evening in Everett, which is in Washington State, mm-hmm. on the 25th of February. It's a Monday evening. And, of course, we're in Bellingham on Saturday, but this is not going to air until Tuesday.
Yeah, by the time everyone's heard this, that you'll already have radiated Bellingham.
Yes, we're going to radiate you. We've got 8 awakened beings coming.
Oh, how exciting.
To give awakened teacher at the Center for Spiritual Living on this Saturday. So it's going to be a very exciting event. And Monday the 25th at 7 p.m., we're going to be at 2804 Grand Avenue in Everett. And it's room 311.
All right, 311. Oh, this is going to be exciting. I'll try to go to that one as well.
Yes, and I'm going to give out Roy's phone number.
Okay.
Because Roy is the person that will be holding that blessing circle for us, for the awakened teacher. Or maybe, will you have the number?
At the end of this, I always give my email, and they could just email me and find out all they want. That's probably easier for everyone to handle.
Yes.
And we have to end or else we'll be hooked off stage. But I am so honored to have both of you here with us today. And the energy you're putting forth is just beautiful. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Such a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Yes. Thank you, Veronica. It was absolutely a delight to be with you and for us to be able to share this experience that we've had, and hopefully that some people will be interested and want to search this out for themselves, and they too can become awakened. That's our main agenda right now, is to share this blessing with everybody.
Well, you have a very infectious vibrational support for everyone, and I know that it's good. It's a wonderful thing. So thank you both again. That's Leslie Heiner and Laurie Clark of the Oneness Blessing.
Veronica, can I just add something else?
You may, of course.
Sorry. When you air on Tuesday night,
yes,
I'm going to tune in, and for all the people that are going to be listening, I'm going to be sending Awakened Teacher.
Wonderful.
While they're online listening to you.
Wonderful.
So that would be exciting. So that's something that we will do.
Well, when I send out my flyer, I'll make sure that that's there so they won't miss the opportunity. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you, Lori.
Oh, okay. You're welcome. And thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. And thank you so much to everyone who is listening to Lori and Leslie speaking about awakening of the oneness blessing. My name is Veronica Entwistle. Email me for any comments or questions, or just to keep in touch, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Many blessings to all of you, and thank you for listening. Good night.